I see all the flaws that some of you can't see. And I know you look at yourself and you see the same things. And God looks at all of us and sees it, but He sees us through His blood. And that makes us look a little different to Him. And He says, bring it to me. He knows it might be broken. He knows you might be messed up. And a lot of it is not your own fault. A lot of times you get broken by somebody else and you had no control over it. But God is saying tonight, if you're broken, if you're flawed, bring it. Just bring it. And He'll use what you've got. And I just thank Him for that tonight. I love Him.
Strength is Jesus, I'm calling you.
In the name of Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus.
There's power in the name of Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, I'm calling you. I know I'm broken, but you can heal me. Jesus, Jesus, I'm calling you. I know I'm broken, but you can heal me. Jesus, Jesus, I'm calling you. I know I'm broken, but you can heal me. Jesus, Jesus, I'm calling you. I know I'm broken, but you can heal me. Jesus, Jesus, I'm calling you. Might not be worth much, but I'm still willing.
I'm still willing.
Jesus,
I'm still willing.
Jesus,
do you
I'm
feel?
Calling you. Might not be worth
much, be worth much,
but I'm still willing.
But I'm willing, Lord.
Jesus,
if you
Jesus,
can use me,
I'm calling. Strong.
God. Let's give Him a good hand praise of worship. Bless His name. Are you glad that He carries you? Are you glad that He's able when you have no more strength? Has anybody ever walked in a place and you don't know how you made it, but you look back and you know it was God that was there all the time? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. What a wonderful, wonderful God. Praise God. Praise God. Appreciate the choir. Good, good choir. Appreciate the praise singers. Sister Lindsay's doing a good job. And praise God. Just glad for what God is doing. Why don't we do this tonight? Why don't we take a text in Deuteronomy 6 and 4 and 5. This is the Shema Israel. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The highest utterance among the Hebrew people. And when Jesus was asked the most important commandment, this is where He directed their attention. Because the preface to the most important commandment is the knowledge that God is one. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. And everyone say, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Praise God. Would you say it again? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, and with all thy might. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give God praise and thanks for His word tonight that is forever settled in the heavens. We magnify you, Lord. We praise you, Lord God, and we worship you. And we lift you up. Praise God. Well, it's just so beautiful, this atmosphere in the house tonight. I love the presence of God. How about you? How many of you remember when you didn't even feel the presence of God? Has it been so long that it's just common to you? There's a danger in letting the presence of God become common to you. When it doesn't move you anymore, and when it doesn't cause a response in your spirit, or for some reason you're not going to follow after the nudging and the nuance and the pressing and the leading of the Spirit of God. Ezekiel chapter 10 and verse 4. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. It had been a long time since the glory of God had been on that house in Jerusalem. This was the temple of God, but now it was filled with idols. But God's not afraid of idols. He went right in and just radiated the place with His glory and with His honor. But now you find Him up from the cherub, between the cherubs and out of the Holy of Holies and off of the mercy seat and over the threshold of the house. He's over the threshold, but the house is still filled with His glory. Verse 18, then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold and stood over the cherubs, and the cherubs lifted up their wings. Now these are the cherubs that Ezekiel saw that were there in that wheeled tree manifestation that is perhaps the working of the kingdom of God that Ezekiel saw. But now the glory of God is over those cherubs. And the cherubs lifted up their wings and mounted up from earth in my sight. And when they went out, the wheels also were beside them. And everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of the God of Israel was over above them. He left the mercy seat and the cherubs there. And now he was at the threshold. And then he's out at the east gate. And the presence of God is leaving Israel. And the presence of God is leaving the Temple Mount. And the temple is about to be destroyed. Chapter 11, verse 24. Afterwards, the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up from me. And it was so that Ezekiel's not going to see where this develops and how it goes from here. But backing up to verse 23, the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. He's left town. God is out of the temple, and he's now out of Jerusalem, and he's over on the mountain on the east side of town, and the glory of God is departing. And in a notable battle in the early days of the history of Israel, when Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, were lying with women in the very doorway of the temple, there came a day when the people thought, well, it's just the physical manifestations, it's the items, it's the ritual, it's the stuff in the tabernacle. And so they brought the Ark of the Testament into battle against the Philistines. But the Philistines stood up. They were at first afraid of the shout and afraid of the Ark of the Testament, but they went into battle and they defeated Israel that day. And Hophni and Phinehas died, and Eli died that day. And someone wrote Ichabod across the door, and Ichabod meant the glory of the Lord has departed. My God, I don't know who you are in this house tonight or where you've walked or what condition your soul is in, but I'll tell you this, you never, never want to walk in a place where the Spirit of God has removed itself from your life or from your house. Whatever I have to do to maintain my contact with the Spirit of God, I may not be your friend, but I need to be God's friend. I may not be popular with this church, but I need to be popular with God. I may not have political influence in this city, but I need to have influence with God. I'll tell you this, you never want to walk where the Spirit of God has departed. You don't want to live in a house where the Holy Ghost doesn't move. You don't want to worship in a house where the Holy Ghost doesn't move. The Spirit of God has left Israel. The Spirit of God left Israel because of altars and images and groves and idolatry. He called it spiritual adultery. And when you begin to pursue something else with passion that is only reserved for God, because hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you need to love him with all your heart and your mind and your strength. And after you've done that, there's really not much room for anything else. How much passion do you have, and where do you pour it out? What are you loving right now? What captivates your thought? What fills your dreams? What motivates you and moves you? Where are you in your mind when you're seated in the house of God? Are there idols in your heart? Are there idols in your mind? Are there idols on your computer? Do you need some distance from God to involve yourself in your hobbies? Or the things that you love. Or the things that you lust after. You can't treat him like that and have him continue to stay. God is patient and God is kind, but God is jealous. And he won't have you saying, not now, God. I've got another lover here. Not now, God. This person is more important than you. Not now, God. This event is more important than you. Not now, God. Because we just read where God tolerated idolatry for centuries. But then he said, that's it. That's enough. But let me tell you something here tonight. You don't have centuries. You have a lifetime. And maybe, just maybe, we are they upon whom the ends of the age have come. And maybe, just maybe, you don't have the full extent of a projected lifetime. Maybe you've got a day. Maybe you've got an hour. Maybe you've got a few weeks. Maybe you've got a month. Maybe you've got a year. I don't know what you have. And I'm not coming to you with doom and gloom tonight. But I'll tell you this. Above anything else you need in your life, you need the moving of the presence of God. Somebody just tell him right now, I need you. I want you. Idols and altars and a lot of the instructions of God to Ezekiel are surrounding God's judgment against those mountains where they've built their altars. He's going to make this place an absolute desolate wasteland. It was fruitful, but it's going to dry up. It was full of plenty, but it's going to be a place of famine. It was a place of joy, but it's going to be a place where the song has died out and the joy has dried up. And why people turn their back on God for something like this, I'll never know. But I have yet to meet a happy backslider. I have yet to meet somebody that really, truly had joy in their life after having walked away from God. Because I want to tell you tonight, nothing else can satisfy like this can satisfy. Nothing else can fill you like this can fill you. Nothing else can answer the ultimate question of the soul. My God, let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. God is telling Ezekiel to tell them that the time is come. He said, tell them 7 and 2 and end. The end is come. 7 and 3. Now is the end come upon you. And 7 and 4, I won't spare, I will recompense your ways upon you. 7 and 5, and evil, and only evil, behold, is come. 7 and 6, and end is come. The end is come. It watches for you. And God is just pounding this redundance throughout this passage. He's letting them know the time is up. If there's ever been high time to be right with God, it's always the case. That's always been. But my God, we're here in 2009, and Russia and Iran are in bed together, and Israel is in the land. And the point of cell technology is there, and the mark is not a fantasy anymore, and the nations are aligned. And it's time. And I hear the footfalls of nations marching inexorably to Armageddon. My God, what are you doing? Where are you depositing your heart? Where are you looking? What are you desiring? What are you hungry for? And what has God failed in that has caused you to turn your heart against him? God takes Ezekiel on a tour of the temple and on a tour of the abominations. And as he makes his way into the temple, he sees what God tells Ezekiel is the image that provokes. Commentaries feel like it's probably the Canaanite god of fertility. On down into the temple itself, there's the Babylonian god of fertility. And he says, I see the women. I see women weeping for Tammuz. He had the prophet come to the wall of the inner court after he saw the idol that caused God to feel this raging jealousy. And he said, I want you to dig in that wall. He said there was a little hole there. And I began to dig. And as I did, the door opened up and I made my way in. And he said it was filled with all kinds of creepy things, all kinds of abominations in that house. He said, I saw elders with censers, and they were waving the smoke of the censer toward their idols. And they said, God doesn't see us. God doesn't know what we're doing. And he said, I heard weeping, and the women were weeping for Tammuz. And Tammuz is the god of Babylonians and the god of fertility for the Babylonians. And he said, I went on into the temple, and it was filled with idols, and it was filled with worship. He said, I went out between the porch and the altar. And he said, there was a crowd of men there, but they had their back to the temple. They had turned their back on the temple. And they were worshiping the sun as it rose in the morning. And this was in the house of God. And that's a long, long time ago. But people haven't changed. And man's relationship with God is still at its heart the very same. And we have a wonderful moving of the presence of God here. And I am extremely interested in what attracts that presence. I want to know what attracts that. I know what drives him away. I know what spurns him. I know what causes him to withdraw. Idolatry. Loving something else. Pursuing something else. Hungry for something else, lusting after something else. Your mind is somewhere else, your strength is somewhere else, and your heart is somewhere else. But you don't get that quality relationship with him until you first know that he's one, and then your mind is tied up in him, and your heart is tied up in him, and your strength is tied up in him. He's not asking for a partial commitment. He's asking for a total commitment. He's not asking for a part-time believer. He's asking for sons and daughters to come and live in a covenant relationship with him. He's not asking for people that are lukewarm. He said, I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm. He said, I want you hot. I want you to love God with a fervent love. In the Greek, it says a hot love. I want you to be passionate about the things of God, is the admonition of the Word of God. I don't know where you came from, and I don't know what's happening in your life right now, but I'll tell you this, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's looking for somebody that'll love him like a man ought to love God, that'll love him like a woman ought to love God. Let's give him a little bit of praise here tonight. Mighty God, we praise you. Mighty God, we praise you. We're busy, but at the heart of all our activity, there is a pulsing relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've got bills to pay. We've got jobs to work. We've got things to do. But if you strip us down to the bare metal, what you're going to find is a heart and a mind and strength that are devoted to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody ought to shout amen. Praise God. Let me tell you, he didn't go part-time to the cross. He didn't give you half of what he had. He didn't give you just a little touch, not a little brush by, not a little flirtation on Sunday morning and Sunday night. He gave you all. I said, God came down and gave you all. And that's all he's asking for. And if you pursue the notables in the Word of God, they are committed people. They are given people. They are driven. David said, he distills it down to one thing. He said, I want this one thing. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to inquire Paul said, this one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. Paul reduced it down to one thing, that I might know him. I just want to know him. Well, Paul, you're a Pharisee. You're schooled up under Gamaliel. You've got a PhD plus in this business of serving God and following God in the Word of God. He said, yeah, yeah, but the closer I get, the bigger he gets. The more I see, the more there is to see. The more I know him, the more I know I don't know anything much about him at all. I want to get close to him. What's all that about? What's all that passionate prayer about? What's all that passionate worship about? What's all the passionate preaching about? What's all the weeping and singing about? We want to know him. Draw close to him. We want his presence. We want his presence. We want God to look down in this place and say, yeah, that's where I want to be on a Sunday night. Yeah, that's where I'd like to be on a Sunday morning. I'll pass by here on Tuesday night. They're calling on me. I'll come by here on a Friday night when just the kids are here, because this is a place that has regard and passion for the things of God. Clap your hands unto him. Bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name. Praise God. They had prophets that would whitewash the walls. The NIV says they whitewashed the walls. The King James says they built the wall with untempered mortar. The final analysis is the same. The wall came down. They had preachers that just told them what they wanted to hear. Preachers that just said, oh, that's all right, baby. You just do what you feel. You just do what you want to do. Just find the lowest common denominator and live there, because that's what grace is all about. Unmerited favor. You don't have to earn it. You don't do anything for it. You don't have to respond. God just pours it out on you. Just because you thought you believed, you had a cognitive experience. And that's all it takes. But in Ezekiel's day, God said, it's a lot of whitewash, but that's not going to stand. That word's not going to stand. That pulpit's not going to stand. Your salvation's not going to stand. Your relationship's not going to stand. You better find yourself a pulpit that'll tell you what the Word of God has to say. You better find a pulpit that'll preach to you if you're wrong and tell you you're wrong. Show you where an altar is. Pray for you. My God, I won't. My God, every day when I pray, I thank God for my pastor. Every day when I pray, I thank God for the prophets that he sent and the evangelists that he sent and all of the word. You know, in every generation there's been a word. I thank God that in our generation there's a word that'll come to us and draw us into the presence of God. Mighty God. Mighty God. Praise God. They had a booming business of women who sewed amulets and sorcery items and divinations into their clothing. And it was all over the city. You couldn't go anywhere in Jerusalem without running in to the world outside. It was his city. It was a holy city. It had the temple. It was the place where the holy people congregated to worship their God. But it was so full of the stinking world. That's what it was. All of those altars and all of those idols. That idol of Asherah was a worldly idol that had come into the house of God. Tammuz was a worldly god that had come in among them. And they were the people of God, and at one time sang the songs, and one time it was the priest swinging the incense burner for the presence of God. And at one time they didn't have their backs to the temple and their face to the sun. They had their back to the world and they had their face to the kingdom of God. But somewhere along the way they lost their way and they forgot. What is it that attracts the presence of God? And they begin to collect things that God is repulsed by. Praise God. And in this house, if we had the capacity to open up your mind and open up your heart and find what's truly there. I'm not playing with you tonight. This is not a day to be a Sunday night, Sunday morning child of God. This is a day to know Him and to love Him and to embrace Him and to have a heart filled with the things of God and a mind filled with the things of God and your strength directed toward the things of God. Say, my God, Brother Sutton, we worship like nobody's business. We're here all the time. We're fanatic about it. Well, God bless you and God keep you. But Israel at one time was the people of God. I want to keep doing those things that are pleasing and those things that are attracting the presence of God. I know you're a young man and springtime is close by. And in the springtime, a young man's thoughts turn toward love. And sometime in the winter even. Now, I want to tell you something. She's gone. The rapture happened. She's not here. I can talk about her. I love my wife. We've been hanging out since she was 14 and I was 15. I've been buying her hot fudge cakes for a long, long time. I am her bubblegum supplier. I feed all her bad habits. And she loves me, and her dentist loves me. She is the root canal queen. But she and I know something. We know that that's as close as you can get to humanity in the earth. And we're like that. We're sewn up. Love her with all my heart. I really do. But she knows, and I know, that life is full of vagaries and all kinds of things can happen in a young man's life and in a young lady's life. And in the journey of life, nothing is going to satisfy that God-shaped hole inside your spirit but God Himself. And so as you pursue the job, you pursue it standing on the platform of a solid experience in the kingdom of God. As you pursue the young lady, and I'm glad you're interested in young ladies. Let me take a moment and congratulate you. You are interested in young ladies, right? It's a good thing. It's a good thing. But as you pursue the young lady, you want to make sure that the young lady is going to be compatible with your passion for God. You can't be a spiritual man and live with a carnal woman. Well, now some people are arguing with me in their minds right now, but I'm just telling you, you'll never be who God wants you to be if you marry somebody that's backslid in their spirit. It'll be a boat anchor on your life in God. It'll be a boat anchor on your faith and your experience in God. Do it right coming in, Jermaine. Do it right when you're making these decisions. Make the choice through the prism of the Word of God. And I know that's what a young man looks for. I know that when young men look at young ladies, they are oblivious to the natural. Because you're a spiritual man. You look at her and all you're thinking is, I wonder if she has a relationship with God. I wonder if she understands the scripture. I wonder if she has a prayer life. But it's the capacity to set all of that other stuff aside. She may be the most beautiful one, but if she doesn't love God with the passion that you have, get away. She may be articulate. She may be witty. She may be a million wonderful things in the natural. But if she's lacking that capacity to love God with all of her heart and her mind and her strength, then you need to set her on the side. You don't need to say, well, I'm going to catch her and then I'm going to fix her up. That's a man walking a tightrope over hell. Do that if you want. But my God, he's got to be at the top of your priority list. He's got to be at the heart of your decision-making process. He's got to be the very life and soul of everything you do in the way of casting vision for your life. My God, do you want that? If you want that, you can have that. If you want that, you can have that. He's trying to get away. Ditto for young ladies. Same for young ladies. Got to have it. If I'm going to be looking at some boy, it's going to be predicated on what I see in his response to God. He may be an imposing physical specimen. He may be. He may be, when you see him, your natural heart may. That may happen, but you've got to take his spiritual pedigree first. You've got to find out where his pulse is first. You've got to find out if he's good. And the only thing that'll tell you that is time and observation. The only thing that'll tell you that is time and observation. I'm going to watch him a long time. I'm going to watch how he interacts with other people. I'm going to watch how he works. You can't fake this for a long time. You can't fake this very consistently. He'll be slipping up somewhere and you'll say, aha, I got you. I knew you were just trying to get me to get into a relationship with some carnal boy. You give him the boot. God will find you a fella. But you find a fella that has a mind for God and a heart for God and the capacity to give all his strength to God. Somebody say amen. I know what attracts the presence of God. I'm a fool if I'm not that. I'm a fool if I don't live that. I'm a fool if I don't do that. My God, God comes to prayer meetings. I'm going to have myself some prayer meetings. My God, God comes to worship services. I'm going to be a worshiper of God. Praise God. I want you to stand up and just worship God with all your heart for a minute here. If I wrote you a check for $1 million tonight, God's got to be bigger than that. What if I gave you the keys to a new house tonight? God's got to be bigger than that. No, you didn't hear me. However you would act if somebody gave you the keys to a brand new car tonight, you ought to act that way in the presence of God. Praise God. Give your neighbor a high five and say, God loves worship. Tell him I'm going to be a worshiper. Tell somebody God loves prayer. I'm going to be a prayer warrior. Tell somebody God loves forgiveness. I'm going to forgive all my enemies. Praise God. Praise God. I tell you something God loves. He loves repentance. All over the house tonight, let's just pray a prayer of repentance. Everything in your life that's not like God, that's not pleasing to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mighty God, look on us with mercy tonight. Look on this house and every family. Cleanse us and forgive us, O God, tonight. Wash us, O God. purge us of everything that's not like you. The words of our mouths, the deeds of our hands. God, our meditations, everything we are and do. Cleanse us and forgive us, oh God. I pray that you would in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 God loves unity. I want you to wrap up with somebody there and love on them for a little bit and then just begin to pray for them. Tell them how glad you are they're in the kingdom of God with you. God loves unity. Hallelujah. I want to love what God loves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God loves souls. Last year we had almost 200 people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and get baptized in Jesus' name. This year's got to be more. Because God loves souls. Because there is nothing in the Bible that you find that causes joy among the presence of the angels of God. But in that 15th chapter of Luke, when they find the sheep and they find the coin and they finally get the prodigal home, there's rejoicing and there's worshiping in the presence of God. You know what happened to Israel? First, they became self-absorbed. Because Israel was supposed to be the light of the world. They forgot their place and their calling and their function in the kingdom of God. And they began to put their energy into all-terrain vehicles and boats and skidoos and televisions and movies and entertainment and what pleased them. And what satisfied them, because they weren't pursuing the passion and the burden of God. They felt hungry for something else. That was what happened to them first, is they lost their vision for what they should be and what they were called to be in the kingdom of God. One of the primary functions of this church, first, is to get you in and right, and then to make you fruitful so that you can take one of these to work and bring some joker off your job, some hard-headed old redneck that hates black people. You don't have one of those on your job, do you? This has his name on it. Tell him your pastor said, God said for him to come. Because in my fruitfulness is his joy. And in his joy, I find my joy. If you're not happy in the kingdom of God tonight, you've lost sight of what makes him happy. If you feel hungry for something else tonight, you've forgotten what satisfies and pleases God. And you need to get back into the business of looking for souls. Brother Fred, we need to give one of these little cards to everybody we buy a jug of milk from. To everybody we buy a Whopper from. We need to give one of these cards to everybody that runs the gas station where we get gas. Any human connection you make, you need to give them one of these. We've got thousands of these, and if you use them all, we'll get thousands more. Praise God. Because God loves that. Everybody say, God loves it. Praise God. So, bring your neighbor to church. Make them come. Blow yourself up 10 times bigger. Make yourself imposing. And say, you will come to the house of God with me. You can do it. Chase is a mighty man. He's 10 feet tall in the Holy Ghost. I'm done. Can we come down around the altar tonight? Y'all never do sing. Y'all sway. Come on down around the altar tonight. If your family's nearby, get together with them. If you don't have family here, adopt somebody tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Step up on these first steps. Make room for those coming behind you. Praise God. I want you to begin to tell somebody right there by you that our house is going to be a house dedicated to the things of God. Tell somebody by you, my life is going to be a life dedicated to God. You know, if your house and your life are, that's what kind of church this is going to be. God bless you. Why don't you hug up your family there or somebody by you and just begin to pray for them in the Holy Ghost tonight. Take a look around you. Is there anybody in that altar around you that needs the Holy Ghost tonight? God, I'll give them the Holy Ghost right now. that to somebody. Never harm you with words. Praise God. Let's clap our hands unto Him and bless His name. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I magnify you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Where's all our new moms and dads? Here's one here. What kind of church you want to have, Molly? What kind of church you want to have? Elena, you got a little tub of lard there. What kind of church? Oh, that's not your tub of lard. That's the Deckards. But you do have one of your own. And he is Chunky. So what kind of church do you want to have? Dead, carnal church, full of, if you walk in here like Ezekiel, you see idols over here and idols over there and carnal people over here. Guys back in the corner talking about football. You can't get them to worship God. Hunting and fishing and God knows what else going on in the house. Can't have a